तम दुराराध्यम आराध्या सताम अपि दुरापया एकांत भक्त्य को वंशे पाद मूलं बिना बहि. My dear Lord, pure devotional service is even difficult for liberated persons to discharge. But devotional service alone can satisfy you. Who will take to other processes of self-realization if he is actually serious about the perfection of life? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word satam refers to transcendentalists. There are three kinds of transcendentalists, the jnani, yogi, and bhakta. Out of these three, the bhakta is selected as the most suitable candidate to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is emphasized herein that only one who is outside devotional service would not engage in searching for the lotus feet of the Lord. Foolish people sometimes maintain that God may be attained in any way, either by karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc. But here it is clearly stated that it is impossible to obtain the mercy of the Lord by any other means but bhakti. The word durarajya is especially significant. It is very difficult to obtain the lotus feet of the Lord by any other method other than pure bhakti yoga. Translation: My dear Lord, pure devotional service is even difficult for liberated persons to discharge. But devotional service alone can satisfy you. Who will take to other processes of self-realization if he is actually serious about the perfection of life? The verse that we are reading this afternoon is from the fourth canto, 21st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is being spoken by that great Mahajan, Lord Shiva. Lord Shankar is worshipped by so many countless living beings for his unlimited excellence and his most exalted position, both within this world and beyond. But here, Lord Shankar himself is praying to the Supreme Lord Hari, and he is explaining for the benefit of all of us, especially his own followers, how to approach the ultimate destination of life. It is being explained here that various people approach various religious systems for various motivations. In fact, the Vedic literature is, as explained in Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Shatvastoni Yoga Kshema Atmavan. They are like a desire tree. Factually, anything you desire, there is religious principles given within the Vedic literatures by which you can fulfill those desires. Not only the pious devotees, but also the asuras, the demons. We have seen how Ravana, he was actually a very, very great scholar of the Vedas. And Hiranyakashipu, after the death of his brother, Hiranyaksha, his family members were weeping, they were crying, especially Diti, the mother. And in order to pacify them, Hiranyakashipu began to speak with great authority and purely the knowledge of Vedic philosophy. He was quoting scripture excellently. Sometimes it is said that the best place to preach the supreme truth is at the burning pyre, the cremation grounds. Because at that time, when we see that someone that we are very fond of, someone that we have associated with very intimately in our life, but what is the destination of this body? It is being engulfed by the flames, or it is being buried under the ground. Then we begin to reflect that at one time, both of our bodies were doing so many things together. Now, look at what has happened. So obviously, I must accept the reality that someday, in the near future, this will also happen to me. My body will also be burning in flames. What is the purpose of life? Who am I? These questions naturally come to people in such an atmosphere. And therefore, to pacify the longing and crying hearts of those who love the deceased, it is the custom amongst spiritual circles that the explanation that we are not this body, the eternal soul, it is really the only security we have in that situation. So Hiranyakashipu was very wonderfully quoting Vedic evidence to establish that we are not this body, we are the eternal soul. And then he took that same Vedic information to perform tapasya, as prescribed in the scriptures. And when he performed that tapasya, he attained his goal by petitioning and attaining the darshan of that great devata, Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma gave him any benediction he wanted. And he used that opportunity to get the benediction of such long life and power that he could at least endeavor, like no one has ever seen, to try to quench his thirst for lust and greed and envy toward God and his devotees. And Ravana also, he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And he had Brahmins. In fact, he himself was a Brahmin. And he had other Brahmins chanting so many mantras and performing so many rituals to gain such great power. But ultimately, what did he use it for? To exploit the dearmost property of that person who is the ultimate source of all power. In the English language, we say, you should not bite the hand that feeds you. But this is what materialistic people in this demoniac consciousness do. Whatever power or potency they have, they are getting from God. And then they try to exploit the property of God with that very power they have attained from God. This is called asura. But also within this great desire tree of the Vedic literatures, there are so many forms of worship by which we can gradually elevate ourselves to higher, more refined and sophisticated consciousness, to more enlightened stages. There is one path which is called Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is the path of philanthropy, charity, performance of yajna and sacrifice, executing various rituals, taking many vows, generally for the purpose of pleasing a particular demigod who will give us particular guarantees for material satisfaction, sometimes for wealth, sometimes for health, sometimes for nice family life, sometimes for more power and influence and popularity. But those who have a higher understanding of what is available through the process of karma yoga, they perform particular yajnas by which they can attain higher planets after this birth. They understand the principle that after death, the soul will attain either a higher or lower position according to our activities. So therefore, they desire heavenly pleasures. So there are 7 planetary systems, upper and 7 lower. This earth is called Bhuloka. It is a middle planet. Below this earth, this earth is the Talalokas, Patala, Sutala, and so on. And each of these is a planetary system with many, many, many planets within it. From Bhuloka, through performance of yajna, through karma yoga, you can attain Bhuvarloka. And ultimately, through karma yoga, you can attain Swargaloka. Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka. In Swargaloka, which is the planetary system with which Indra's abode is present, there is incredible, inconceivable amounts of material pleasure that the senses have the capacity to enjoy millions of times more pleasure than the senses we have today. When you eat a laddu, it tastes very nice. So we want another one and another one and another one, and then we get sick. And then we don't want any more till tomorrow. That is Bhuloka. But in Swargaloka, that laddu, its ingredients are so flavorful, and your tongue has such a capacity to enjoy, that multiply the pleasure you get by eating your laddu by lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of times, and that's how much you enjoy the laddu in Swargaloka. Not only with your tongue, but everything you see. When you see some beautiful tree, or some beautiful river, or some beautiful man or woman, you know how you think, oh, very beautiful. I can't take my eyes off. But in Swargaloka, the beauty of the thing is millions of times more beautiful than anything here, and the eye has the capacity to enjoy millions of times greater. And not only that, there's no disease, and you could live for thousands upon thousands of years without disturbance. But ultimately, your karma will run out. And then, you come back down to Bhuloka again, eating laddus. But if the laddus are prasad, that laddu is better than that in Swargaloka. Radha Gopinath's prasad. So people realize that what is the use of doing so much yajna and so much tapasya for the purpose of reaching these higher planets when ultimately my senses are never really satisfied anyway. And every pleasure, however great or small it may be, has a beginning and an end. Dukalaya mashashvatam. So people take to Astanga yoga or Dhyana yoga, wherein they perform severe types of tapasya. Not only Thai, but they literally renounce all the pleasures of this world. And they engross their minds in deep, deep forms of meditation. And by detaching yourself from all pleasures of this world and immersing yourself in the meditative process, you can attain to Maharloka, Janarloka, or Tapaloka. In these planetary systems, everyone has all the 8 mystic cities. Everyone is a tremendous yogi. They could travel anywhere they want at the speed of mind. They could, anything they desire, they could manifest it within the palm of their hands. They could read people's minds. They could become smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. They are endowed with all these miraculous cities. And everyone there is a perfectly self-controlled person, always immersed in higher realms of thought. And for those who attain to such siddhalokas, janaloka, tapaloka, maharloka, ultimately they realize that however much they try to control, they are always being controlled. That ultimately, the more we try to manipulate and exploit the resources given by God, we don't attain contentment, but we attain frustration. Because all of these powers, all of these opulences are temporary. They give no pleasure to the soul. They only give pleasure to the body and the mind. So therefore, people take to the process of jnana yoga. Ultimately, through karma yoga and through jnana yoga, you can attain to the supreme destination of this material existence, which is satyaloka. And the highest realm in satyaloka, the highest planet, is brahmaloka, where Lord Brahma personally resides. But as we have said, Krishna explains, abhrama bhuvana loka punaravartano arjuna. Even in brahmaloka, the supreme planet of pleasure, in this material existence, everything has a beginning and an end. So through jnana yoga, we want to transcend this material existence altogether. It is explained, beyond brahmaloka, there is an existence called the viraja. Viraja is the tatastha shakti. It is just below the tatastha shakti. The viraja is the dividing line, the no man's land between material energy and spiritual energy. And after we cross that river of viraja, we enter into the Brahman, the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the eternal spiritual light. And the jnanis, through complete detachment and realization, neti neti, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, aham brahmasmi. They are freed from all the temporary conditions of material existence. No more birth, no more death, no more suffering or happiness, but they merge into that divine effulgent light of the Absolute Truth, Sri Narayana. But it is explained in Bhagavatam, Aruya Krishna Param Tadapata, that such a situation is the negation of all pain, but because it is a neutral condition, there is no positive spiritual pleasure. There is no love in merging into the oneness of Brahman. So therefore, such a soul who is most fortunate pursues the path of bhakti. Because only through the path of bhakti can we transcend all the 14 planetary systems of material existence and even transcend Brahman effulgence itself and enter into the eternal spiritual world of the Lord of Vaikuntha, where there is eternal loving service, always shared between the Lord and his devotees. It is the existence of Satchit Ananda. The Vaikuntha planets are those planets where the Lord is worshipped with great obedience, with pure devotion and great reverence. And the highest, the supremest of all Vaikuntha planets is Goloka Vrindavan. Because Goloka Vrindavan is that transcendental abode, the highest, the fullest, the most complete existence in all the spiritual realm, where God can be reciprocated in a form of love that is totally spontaneous and unconditional. Unconditional in the sense that we are not concerned whether he is God. We love Krishna simply because he is all attractive. How to achieve the highest planes of spiritual consciousness? The path of bhakti is very mysterious because it completely contradicts material consciousness. Material consciousness, when we are in business, when we are in politics, the more we try to build ourselves up to be great and famous and qualified, the higher realms of position you attain. You never see a politician say, well, actually, I'm not a very good politician. Actually, my opponent, he's better than me. No one will win an election like that. Huh? You never see the Congress party saying to the BJP, saying to the people, actually, the BJP, actually, they're very nice to vote. They're better than us, actually. We're actually the most fallen. So you should vote for them. In material politics, everyone's trying to push everyone else down and put themselves up. We are the greatest. We can do this. We can do that. We can do everything. And in business, same thing. We have to go, we have the best product. Will anyone buy from you if you say, well, actually, I'm very fallen. And my product really isn't very good at all. In fact, it's the worst product. So really, you shouldn't buy from us. Oh, no. Material world, you have to say, ours is the best, everyone else is inferior. We are supreme product, you should buy from us only. Don't be cheated by anybody else. Huh? So this is material existence. We try to achieve higher planes of position through ascending process by trying to build ourselves up and up and up and up and up and up. But in bhakti, you cannot ascend to the position of loving Krishna. You cannot ascend to the spiritual world, whoever you are. No amount of knowledge, no amount of tapasya, no amount of mystic powers, no amount of charity and philanthropy can approach the spiritual world. You have to go beyond jnan. You have to go beyond renunciation. You have to go beyond good karma. And you have no capacity to go beyond. But by taking the humble position, you can attract the Supreme to descend to you. That is bhakti. Positive pride and ego repels positive spiritual realization. Negative ego attracts. Just like you have seen magnet. If you put two magnets together, the positive side and the positive side,
what happens? It goes like this. You're trying to reach, you're trying to touch the positive pole with the positive pole, and the more you move forward, the more the other one goes away. You have seen in school? Positive repels positive. But if you take the negative end, immediately, it attracts the positive. This is bhakti. Krishna is the supreme positive. He is the source of everything that exists. And to the degree we feel ourselves humble, to the degree we feel ourselves totally helpless and depending on Him, we attract the grace of God. For the bhakta, this is the supreme conception of merging into the oneness of the Lord. To become so humble, so dedicated, so dependent on the mercy of Krishna, that he is so attracted by that love, that he descends by his divine grace, and we merge into that divine grace as his eternal servant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us this simple and sublime process of being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others, to expect none in return. By being the servant of the servant of the servant, we can attract the all-attractive. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful and so intelligent, and Prahlad was just 5 years old. That means he was at the most in kindergarten or first standard at the most. And he was not a strong person. He was just a little baby, practically. The Supreme Lord destroyed Hiranyakashipu and was always there to protect Prahlad because of his humility and devotion. This is bhakti. Bhakti is that process by which we cultivate that consciousness where we, like a fish, utterly dependent on the water. This should be our relationship with Krishna. Not that we think that we're great, that without Krishna, we cannot exist. Without remembering Krishna, without being supported by His mercy, there's nothing in this world that is worth anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed in this way. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha puravrishayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. Krishna, bereft of your remembrance, bereft of your darshan, this whole world is a dreary, empty void. There's nothing that appeals to me. This is the consciousness of the pure devotees. This is the consciousness we should aspire for. When Krishna appeared in this world, he taught us how we should always be aspiring to be so humble and so devoted that Krishna wants to steal our consciousness. He wants to steal our heart in the same way he was stealing the butter from the homes of the gopis and the brijbasis.
We don't want to attain a high position, but we simply want to become our hearts so soft and humble and dedicated that Krishna will come to us and steal us away with his love. You know the story, how Mother Yashoda, she was feeding the milk of her breast to Lord Sri Krishna. He was just a little baby child. And the milk was boiling over, and she went to take care of taking it off the stove. At that time, Krishna was thinking that why she left me for that milk. She should be more concerned with giving me her milk than saving the other milk. You see, in the Christian world, they say that God is a jealous God. But when they say it, it's very fearful. You go, my God, he's a jealous God. That means I have to do everything for him, or he will crash my heads with thunderbolts. It's usually how fear is instilled within particular levels of religious thought. But here we find that yes, God is a jealous God, but his jealousy is so sweet. It's so beautiful and pleasing. In Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't throw thunderbolts. He breaks butter pots. This is how he shows his jealousy. So he broke the butter pots. That there's Sarva Dharman Puritya, you should do everything for me, Mother Yashoda. Why like this? Of course, she was doing it for him because the milk was meant ultimately for him. But still, he was thinking that she has neglected me. So he broke the pots and he started stealing the butter. Makhan Chor. So when Mother Yashoda saw that he is gone and the butter pots are broken, she picked up stick to chase him. And he was running away. And gradually, he allowed himself to be caught. And she was thinking out of her parental affection that my little baby Krishna, what will happen to him if he just restlessly roams around the house like this? He's so mischievous. I have so many chores to do as a housewife. In order for his protection, I will tie him up to a wooden grinding mortar. So she got rope, and she tied. But when she went to tie the rope, it was two fingers too small. So she got more rope and tied it. And she went to tie the two ends together. It was two fingers too short. And she got more rope, and more rope, and more rope. And the more she got rope, the bigger the rope was. But every time, it was exactly two fingers too short. But what a miracle it was. Because Krishna did not even grow one finger. Krishna remained the same size. The rope was growing meter after meter after meter after meter. Krishna's waist remained the same, but still, no matter how much rope was added, it was always exactly 2 inches too short. Who can understand Krishna's mystic powers? He is Yogeshwara. But ultimately, seeing her motherly affection, he agreed to be tied by his mother. And it is described by the great Satyavrat Muni that even the greatest yogis and the greatest jnanis and the greatest kings cannot bind the Lord. By all of their knowledge and tapasya and all of their austerities and charities. But Mother Yashoda, because of her love, by the rope of bhakti, she bound the Lord. Now, Srila Jiva Goswami explains what happened after this in his book, which is called Gopal Champu. Mother Yashoda was going on with her household duties, but she was actually feeling too much anxiety in her mind. She was thinking that I tied Krishna up. How could I do that to him? And I don't know, he might become angry with me. He might not like me because I've done this. And he might be in distress. He might be very sad being tied up like a little animal. So she was thinking like this as she was cleaning the house and doing the gopi duties. And meanwhile, Krishna, he was thinking, Mataji, she has done like this to me. I will show her what I can do. So he began to crawl. And as he crawled, this big, big wooden grinding mortar started dragging behind him. And he saw two trees, Arjuna trees. And he crawled between those trees. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda was thinking, actually, I should go untie Krishna. I have done a very bad thing by tying him up. It's not nice at all. So she went running back to where Krishna was. And when she arrived at the site of the grinding mortar was gone. And Krishna was gone. And she was frantically in a condition of motherly affection that where has he gone? What has happened to him? Where is my child Gopal? She was in complete anxiety of spiritual love. Where is he? Where is he? And just at that time she heard these two massive Arjuna trees, which were so wide and so high, they crashed to the ground, and her heart practically stopped. She just cried out, Gopal, Krishna, has something happened to you? Tears in her eyes. She was so worried. Where is he? At that time, Nanda Maharaj, he heard the trees fall, and he came to the site. And there he saw little Krishna crawling around right between these two gigantic trees that just crashed to the ground. And he was thinking, where is Mother Yashoda? My child, he could have been killed by these two trees. And why is he tied up? And why is he in the middle of this pasture ground? My wife, Yashoda, why isn't she taking care of him? If she won't take care of him, then I will take care of him. So Nanda Maharaj picked up little baby Krishna and brought him to the Goshala. And as the milking of the cows were going on, he was sitting on Nanda Maharaj's lap. And Nanda Maharaj was just petting his head and smelling his head, thinking, you almost got killed today, Krishna, by those two trees. I'm so happy that the Lord has saved you. At that time, Mother Yashoda, she came running to where the trees had fallen. And there she saw the grinding mortar and the rope. But Krishna was nowhere to be seen. Can you imagine the emotional distress she was in? This is bhakti. Some people, they approach religion because they want peace of mind. But on the path of bhakti, it's not that type of peace of mind. Mother Yashoda, she was so far above and beyond peace of mind that she was totally engrossed in ecstatic love, in total anxiety and distress and worrying like anything. But she was worrying for Krishna. Therefore, it was the highest perfection of consciousness. Where is he? Has he been crushed? Is he under these trees? Where is he gone? Where is my Gopal? At that time, she was weeping. She was crying. She was just about to faint. When one of the gopis came and said, Krishna's in the Goshala with Nanda Maharaj. He's in the Goshala. What offenses I've made to him. And she ran to the Goshala and she saw Krishna sitting on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. And she said, Gopal, please, please, come back into my arms. Come home with me.
I'm sorry what I did. Please, let me feed you my milk. And Krishna looked at her and said, I do not want to go home with you. I want to stay with my father. This was like a burning arrow piercing her heart and causing it to flame with pain. And Mother Yashoda just began to hysterically weep. And she went to her house in Nandagaon, or in Gokul, Nanda Bhavan in Gokul. And she just laid on the ground and began to cry and cry and cry. She was just rolling. She could not even stand up. That I have offended my child and mistreated him so bad that he wants nothing to do with me. She was like a fish out of water. A devotee cannot survive without Krishna's kind, gracious blessings. So she was weeping and crying. She could not even stand up. She was actually at the verge of total unconsciousness. She became blind, literally, from crying so much. At that time, Rohini Devi went to the Goshala. And she said, my dear little Gopal, your mother Yashoda, she's crying and crying and crying because she feels that she has hurt you. She's crying so much, her heart is so broken that she cannot even stand up. And at that time, Krishna, he jumped off the lap of Nanda Maharaj. He said, my mother is crying. My mother is in pain. And as fast as his little legs could run, he ran. He ran to Nanda Bhavan, and he was crying out at the top of his lungs, Mother, Mother, I've come. Mother, Mother, I've come. And at that time, Yashoda Mai, she heard her child calling, and she got up. Gopal, you've come to me. And she reached out her arms, and she ran to him. And he reached out his arms, and he ran to her. And they were running toward each other in the ambrosial ecstasy of pure love. And he jumped in her arms, and she embraced him. She said, my dear Gopal, please, let me always please you. And Krishna said, my dear mother, I'm hungry. Please give me your milk. Vrindavan Dham Ki. This is the attraction between the Lord and his devotee. That when that devotee develops that humility of consciousness to the extent that we cannot live without Krishna. Yayatamam prapadyante, Krishna reciprocates. To such a devotee, Krishna cannot live without his devotee. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam dvaham. The Lord has said that my devotee knows no one but me, so I know no one but my devotee. My devotee has given everything for me. I've given everything for my devotee. My devotee cannot live without my presence, and I cannot live without such a devotee's presence. Through the path of bhakti, we do not aspire for any position in this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, our aspiration is to cultivate the feelings of separation from Krishna. Like that fish, we should be so dependent on Krishna in our lives. And that alone will attract Krishna to come into our life. And Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya taught such a wonderful, sublime process. By learning to be the servant of the servant of the servant, by taking such a humble position, we attract the grace of God. And by sincerely and attentively chanting His name, we are humbling ourselves and crying out for His mercy. Through this process, our heart becomes purified, and the genuine feelings of separation and devotion will naturally grow. So how fortunate we are. Such a gift, such a wealth is being freely given to all of us. Serve the great devotees of the Lord. There is no greater fortune in all creation. And the supreme fortune of rendering the highest service in the company of such devotees, of chanting the holy names of the Lord together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. This is confirmed by the scripture, and this is confirmed by all the great acharyas, that to be in the presence of sincere devotees of the Lord and to perform the sankirtan of the holy name in their association is the highest, purest, and most precious wealth in all of creation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्ण. तो आज के प्रवचन में महाराज ने श्रीमद् भागवत के चौथे स्कंद से एक श्लोक में बताया, जहां पर शिवजी भगवान से प्रार्थना कर रहे हैं कि हे भगवान, आपके प्रति शुद्ध भक्ति जो है वो मुक्त पुरुषों के लिए भी करनी काफी मुश्किल है, लेकिन एक भक्ति ही है जो आपको संतुष्ट कर पाती है. ऐसा कौन व्यक्ति होगा जो और किसी तरीके को ग्रहण करेगा? तो ये प्रवचन में बताया गया कि ये शिवजी के द्वारा बोला गया ये श्लोक है, और अनंत प्राणी जो है इनकी आराधना करते हैं, और इस स्थिति में वो भगवान हरि से प्रार्थना कर रहे हैं कि जो जीवन का अंतिम उद्देश्य है उसके बारे में कि क्या है. वास्तव में राक्षस भी जो है कई बार शास्त्र को जानते हैं, जैसे रावण है वो शास्त्रों का वेत्ता था, और हिरण्यकश्यपु को भी काफी कुछ पता था. जब उसके भाई की मृत्यु हुई थी तो काफी ज्ञान दे रहे थे. कई बार ऐसा होता है कि शमशान को एक बहुत ही अच्छी जगह माना जाता है प्रचार के लिए, क्योंकि यहां पर हम देखते हैं कि हमारे कोई निजी व्यक्ति की शरीर का जो है अंत हो रहा है, और हमें यह भी पता चलता है कि एक दिन हमारा भी इस तरह अंत होना है. तब इस तरह के प्रश्न हमारे मन में आते हैं कि जीवन का ध्येय क्या है, मैं क्या हूं, और इस तरह से. तो हिरण्यकश्यपु जो है वो बिल्कुल दर्शन शास्त्र के अनुसार बता रहा था, और इसी तरह से रावण भी ब्राह्मण था, लेकिन फिर भी वो जो है भगवान की प्रकृति का शोषण करना चाहता था. तो ये असुरी प्रवृत्ति है, और ऐसे भी कई प्रकार के धर्म के जो है उद्देश्य होते हैं, तथा कथित धर्म के, जो कि जिनका उद्देश्य होता है कि स्वर्गलोक की प्राप्ति करना. जैसे कि सात ऊंचे लोक और सात नीचे लोक होते हैं, ये भूलोक से ऊपर भूवर लोक, स्वर्गलोक वगैरह, और वहां पर बहुत ज्यादा आनंद भी मिलता है. लेकिन चाहे हम ब्रह्मलोक तक क्यों न चले जाएं, ये सब दुखों के घर हैं और अशाश्वत हैं. और जब लोग जान लेते हैं कि यहां पर कुछ पाने लायक नहीं है, तब वो फिर अष्टांग योगी की विधि को स्वीकार करके और ऊंचे जाने का प्रयास करते हैं. लेकिन वास्तव में वो भी जान लेते हैं कि वो जो है ईश्वर नहीं है, उनसे ऊपर ईश्वर है, और वो भी दुखी हो जाते हैं. तो इस ब्रह्मलोक से भी ऊपर ये विराजा नदी, और उससे जो कि भौतिक शक्ति और आध्यात्मिक शक्ति के बीच में है, तटस्था शक्ति कहते हैं, और उससे परे ब्रह्म है, जो कि ज्ञानी वैराग्य के बाद और ज्ञान के बाद भगवान में ब्रह्म ज्योति में लीन होना चाहते हैं. लेकिन श्रीमद् भागवत बताती है कि ऐसे लोगों से भी वहां पर से भी पतन हो सकता है, क्योंकि वहां पर कोई आनंद नहीं है और वहां पर कोई प्रेम नहीं है। तो सबसे भाग्यवान व्यक्ति वो है जो कि भक्ति पाने का प्रयास करते हैं, क्योंकि भक्ति से ही हम आध्यात्मिक धाम में प्रवेश कर पाते हैं। वैकुंठ जगत में जो है सब प्राणी जो है भगवान की सेवा बहुत आदर भावना से करते हैं, और उससे भी परे गोलोक धाम है जहां पर भगवान का स्वाभाविक प्रेम होता है और वो भगवान से जो है सच्चा प्रेम करते हैं। तो उस चेतना को कैसे प्राप्त करना? वास्तव में भक्ति का जो मार्ग है वो भौतिक चेतना के बिल्कुल उल्टा है। भौतिक संसार में हरेक व्यक्ति अपने आप को दूसरे को नीचे गिराकर खुद ऊपर उठना चाहता है, लेकिन आध्यात्मिक जगत में हम अपने आप से ऊपर जा ही नहीं सकते, चाहे कितना दान ज्ञान या यज्ञ कर लें। लेकिन अगर हम एक नम्र स्थिति को स्वीकार करते हैं तब जो है हम भगवान को अपने हृदय में अवतरित करा सकते हैं। जिस तरह से जो चुंबक के दो भाग होते हैं, तो जो पॉजिटिव भाग होता है और वो जो नेगेटिव भाग को आकर्षित करता है, उसी तरह से जब हम अपने आप को निम्नाति निम्न बना देते हैं तो भगवान जो कि सर्वोत्तम है अपने आप हम उनको आकर्षित कर पाते हैं। तो पूर्ण रूप से नम्र होकर भगवान की कृपा पर निर्भर होना, इससे जो है भगवान की कृपा हमारे हृदय में प्रवेश करती है। श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने हमें सिखाया है कि अपने आप को तृण से भी नीचे मानते हुए, पेड़ से ज्यादा सहनशील होकर, दूसरों को मान देते हुए खुद मान की अभिलाषा नहीं करना और भगवान के दासों का दास बनना। तो इस तरह से हम सर्व आकर्षक को आकर्षित कर सकते हैं। हिरण्यकशिपु बहुत शक्तिशाली थे, बुद्धिमान थे, प्रहलाद तो एक छोटे से बालक थे, लेकिन भगवान जो प्रकट होकर हिरण्यकशिपु का नाश कर दिया और प्रहलाद की रक्षा की। तो भक्ति ये तरीका है कि जिसके द्वारा हम इस चेतना को स्वीकार कर सकते हैं। जब हम भगवान के ऊपर पूर्ण रूप से निर्भर हो जाते हैं और भगवान के बिना नहीं रह सकते, जैसे मछली जो है पानी के बिना नहीं रह सकती, तभी हमें भगवान की प्राप्ति हो सकती है। श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु बताते हैं कि आपके बिना मुझे पूरा जगत जो है शून्य नजर आ रहा है। तो जब श्री कृष्ण भगवान ये प्रकट होते हैं तो हमें सिखाते हैं कि किस तरह से हमें नम्र बनना है। विशेष करके एक कथा है गोपाल चंपू से कि जहां पर यशोदा माता जब भगवान श्री कृष्ण को उखल से बांधते हैं और उसके बाद उनको लगने लगता है कि मैंने जो है बहुत भगवान कृष्ण के प्रति बहुत बड़ा अपराध कर दिया है, और वैसे सोच रहे होते हैं उतने में भगवान कृष्ण जो है वो उखल को चलाते हुए दो पेड़ों को गिरा देते हैं। तब नंद महाराज देखते हैं कि इतने दो बड़े पेड़ गिर गए हैं, तो नंद महाराज जो है भगवान श्री कृष्ण को ले जाते हैं और गौशाला में उनकी गोद में भगवान कृष्ण बैठ जाते हैं। फिर जब यशोदा माता ढूंढते ढूंढते बहुत दुखी हो जाती है, विलाप करने लगती है, और अंत में जब वो भगवान श्री कृष्ण को देखती है, लेकिन भगवान श्री कृष्ण कहते हैं कि मैं आपके पास नहीं आऊंगा, तो यशोदा माता बहुत दुखी होती हैं और विलाप करने लगती हैं। ऐसा लगता है कि मानो उनके प्राण चले जाएंगे। और उसके पश्चात जब रोहिणी माता जाकर उन्हें बताती है कि भगवान श्री कृष्ण को कि तुम्हारे बिना यशोदा माता बहुत दुखी है, तब भगवान श्री कृष्ण तुरंत छलांग लगाकर वापस यशोदा माता के पास पहुंच जाते हैं। तो ये जो आकर्षण है भक्त और भगवान के बीच में, भगवान श्री कृष्ण बताते हैं कि साधु मेरे हृदय में है और मैं साधु के हृदय में हूँ, वो मेरे अलावा कुछ नहीं जानते, मैं उनके अलावा कुछ नहीं जानते, वो मेरे बिना नहीं रह सकते और मैं उनके बिना नहीं रह सकता। तो हमारी यही उद्देश्य है कि भगवान के प्रति विरह भावना को बढ़ाना, और हमें भगवान के ऊपर इतना निर्भर हो जाना चाहिए कि हम उनके बिना रह ही नहीं सकें। इस तरह से दासों का दास बनकर भगवान की कृपा को हम आकर्षित कर सकते हैं। जब हम नम्र भावना से भगवान का नाम कीर्तन करते हैं तब हम भगवान को अपने हृदय में बुलाते हैं, और इससे सच्ची भावना जो विरह की है वो पैदा हो सकती है। यही जो संपत्ति है वो सबको मुफ्त में बांटी जा रही है। ये एक संपत्ति है कि अपने आप को भक्तों के नम्र बनाकर उनकी सेवा करना, और इसके द्वारा ही भगवान की कृपा को प्राप्त कर सकते हैं। सब आचार्यों और सभी साधुओं का और शास्त्रों का कहना है कि भगवान के भक्तों के संग में रहकर सब मिलकर कीर्तन करना, यही सबसे बड़ा मूल्यवान और यही सबसे ऊंचा एक जो है संपत्ति हमारे पास है। हरे कृष्ण।
Everyone, please rise. Please chant the holy name of the Lord with great attention. Immerse your consciousness, merge it into the beautiful sound of His holy name. With great feeling. Let us cry out for Krishna's supreme mercy, which has so benevolently appeared within the sound of His name. Let us chant
with a loud voice to fill the world with the beautiful kirtan of Harinam. As I chant, please, with folded palms, welcome Krishna's name into your heart. And as you respond, raise your arms high in the air. Offering your life as a sacrifice at his lotus feet.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatti, Bombay 400007, India.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Rama. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Rama. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hare, Hari Rama. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Ramo Ramo Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nithai Gaur Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. Nithai Gaur Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. Nithai Gaur Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. Nithai Gaur Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nithai Gaur Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. Nithai Gaur Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. Nithai Gaur Brahmanandi, Hari Va, Hari Va. Nithai Gaur.